Penguin Random House Audio presents Disintegration, Two Novellas and Three Stories and a Little Play by William Melvin Kelly. Read for you by Jay Smooth with Gabrielle Atkins, Bailey Carr, Angel Peen, Luke Slattery, and Keith Zarabaika. William Melvin Kelly was born in New York City in 1937 and attended the Fieldston School and Harvard. The author of four novels and a short story collection, he was a writer in residence at the State University of New York at Geneseo and taught at the New School and Sarah Lawrence College. He was awarded the Annisfield Wolf Book Award for Lifetime Achievement and the Dana Reed Prize for Creative Writing. He died in 2017. For Ikey the Brave. Fierce-browed, I coolly defy a thousand pointing fingers. Head bowed, like a willing ox, I serve the children. Lu Xun. Only that day dawns to which we are awake. There is more day to dawn. The sun is but a morning star. Henry David Thoreau. Hold to the now, the here, through which all future plunges to the past. James Joyce. June 1952. Time I surprise people who don't know me very well by calling myself a feminist. They wonder how an old bachelor literary historian can espouse such radical views as equal pay for equal work, and even equal pay for comparable work, though occasionally I have trouble with the comparable part. But I more surprise them by assuring them that my feministism runs deeper than even money. I genuinely believe that in any way men care to define it, women bear half the responsibility for everything that humankind has destroyed or accomplished. I didn't always feel that way. I had a good traditional education, so naturally I started out believing in the superiority of men and never thought to look behind any of the renowned men of history to see if any female lurked there, exerting strong influence. Now, I know better. Whether or not we know their names, and even though they themselves don't always know it, women stand there behind or beside men, contributing equally to humankind's development. I owe credit for sowing the first seeds of my feministism to my paternal grandmother, Nanny Eva Dunford, whom I met for the first time at 17 years of age in 1952. We never had any hard evidence establishing her date of birth. She maintained that missionaries had brought her from Africa in 1866 at the age of 4, but we always suspected that an 1872 birth date seemed more likely. Still, she could have come from Africa. She seemed to have no European ancestry. Both my father, years ago, and myself, more recently, have searched unsuccessfully for a record of her parents. And she did give us the name of the missionaries, a couple named Wilson, with two L's. I had an exchange of letters with the Wilson family, but they didn't give much help. All to say that Nanny Eva knew her Bible as well as any scholar. She knew it cold and hot, Pentateuch and Revelation. Quote a phrase from the Bible, and she could cite chapter and verse. If it had multiple citations, she would know that too. Isaiah quoting David, son, she would say, amazing me. Nanny Eva Dunford lived with my uncle G.L. and his wife Rose in a near mansion high up on a hill in New Marseilles, segregation and all. With little education, but with an engaging personality, Uncle G.L. had already made and lost three fortunes. In 1952, he owned a bar, a record store, and a taxi service. So they lived well, even though they could not sip from certain drinking fountains. Irony. A few days after my father and I had arrived from New York, Nanny Eva and I found ourselves out on the veranda overlooking New Marseilles and the Gulf beyond. She looked clean and crisp, chocolate brown and shiny-skinned with kinky white hair like a cloud framing her fierce-eyed face. I felt moved to take some photos of her with my little Argo Flex box camera. I excused myself and went inside to get it, then returned to the veranda. Now, son, Nanny don't want no pictures. Just take that box camera right back inside. I told her she looked extremely photogenic and begged her to let me take some pictures, thinking that I might not have too many more chances. She looked strong, but had lived at least 80 years. Don't want no pictures took, I tell you. She pursed her lips, squinted. Don't need none. But I needed them. I insisted. Her two other grandchildren, my brother Peter and my sister Connie, had only one faded snapshot of her, taken in the 1930s. We needed something more recent. Might break your camera, she warned. Busted every camera ever took a picture of me. Ugly like mud. No Lena Vaughn. So unless you don't plan on taking pictures after this, she held the S, hissing. I promised her I'd only take a few, though I wanted to take a whole roll of 12. I asked her to sit up straight and smooth her skirt over her lap. She shot me a fiery glance. Making me look like a glamour girl? Easy to see you don't have no respect for no women except as glamour girls. I protested, asking her if I had disrespected her since meeting her. Not me, you better not, but our kind, womankind. I done hear what you said last night after supper. Didn't think Rose and me could hear, but we could hear you bold. Nanny Eva sucked her tongue. About them 5 Jewish men starting everything. It hit me. After supper the night before, while the women cleared the table and washed the dishes, pretty-faced Aunt Rose bustling, Nanny Eva doing what she could at a slower pace, the men, Uncle G.L. and my father and I, sitting at the dining room table, had conducted wide-ranging intrafamilial and intergenerational discussions, during the course of which the subject of the Jews came up. Uncle G.L. stood opposed. I doubt if he'd even met a Jew in his largely segregated life, but he blamed the Jews for the recent World War II. My father objected strenuously. He'd lived in New York City for a quarter century, coming to the conclusion that the Jews meant no harm and occasionally helped Africa America. 17 years old and snotty-nosed, I ventured an opinion expressed in the hallways of my private school by students, if not faculty, that all Western thought had evolved out of the philosophies of 5 Jewish men, Moses, Jesus, Marx, Freud, and Einstein. Now Nanny Eva had taken offense. 5 Jewish men starting everything? As if women didn't have no say in the world. What about Blessed Jesus' Mama Mary? What the Catholics do without her? Bet you never wonder why Creator God want to bring in Jesus by Mary, instead of just making with mud like he done Adam, because it done need a woman. And don't forget about Sis Jochebed. I had followed her until the last. Lost a moment, my nervous index finger had squeezed off a shot, the first of the roll, which developed slightly blurred, her eyes wide open and eyebrows raised. Moses' mama saved the world and didn't get no credit for it. Know why? Some ideas take time to get through to me. Others come like lightning. Jochebed, later I learned the correct spelling, mother of Moses, saved the world? Inwardly I scoffed, as only a private school brat can scoff. 'Cause men write the story when it all said and done did, so they make it look like men saved the day. Women stepping in when the going gets so bad only a woman can save it. Nobody think about writing it down when hard times holding court. Everybody too busy scrambling. And women the best scramblers, eggs and otherwise. 'Cause women the first and best experimenters. Now put that box camera away and tell Nanny Eva what you want for your dinner. I tried to divert her, pointing out that I'd thought she wanted to tell me about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Unless perhaps Nanny Eva really had nothing worthwhile to say about this little-known woman. Well, I shouldn't have said that. The heat coming out of her eyes seemed to jelly the air between us. Nothing worth saying. About Moses, Mama? Why, son, what the most hard times you ever know? While I thought of an answer, I took a second shot, the old lady glaring at me, really the top of my head, as I bent looking into the viewfinder. Ever been a slave? Well, I never did actually be one. But did know plenty was as a girl, and they told me all about it. First off, they buying and selling you like bulls and cows.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?